Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Mitzi, from Laytonville High School, with
Hanani Ike from Laytonville High School,
Princess Vate from Round Valley High School,
Colette Anderson from Round Valley High School,
Michael Hanover from Round Valley High School.
First off, we would like to thank all the people who mentioned Youth Speaks Out during our recent pledge drive. Your support of this program and KZYX and Z will help keep local youth on the airwaves. Today, our topic is disability and youth, inclusion in school and society. Many of the adults listening to this program grew up during a time when people with disabilities were relegated to special classrooms. As children, they were told not to stare at or ask questions of people in wheelchairs, people using sign language, or people who were mentally retarded. Since then, laws have been passed to ensure the rights of people with disabilities, and society overall has become more accommodating and accepting of those who are different. Americans with disabilities are now in the mainstream, living independently, working, playing, going to school, voting, shopping, and otherwise participating in the same activities as everyone else. We need to define some terms. Inclusive education is a process of removing barriers and enabling all students, including previously excluded groups, to learn and participate effectively within general school systems. Inclusive education involves practices wherein students with special educational needs spend most or all of their time with non-disabled students. However, this is implemented varies from school to school. Inclusive education differs from previously held notions of integration and mainstreaming. Those models were concerned principally with disability and special educational needs, and implied with that learners would change and become ready for accommodation by the mainstream. Inclusion rejects the use of special schools or classrooms to separate students with disabilities from students without disabilities. The goal is full participation by students with disabilities and respect for their social, civil, and educational rights. In the inclusion model, some students with special aids in the general classroom. Some students also attend regular classrooms for part of the day with more intensive instructional sessions in a resource room. Before the Education for All Handicapped Children Act, EHA, was enacted in 1975, U.S. public schools educated only 1 out of 5 children with disabilities. More than 1 million children were excluded from school. Another 3.5 million children with disabilities attended school but did not receive the educational services they needed. Many of these children were segregated in separate and special buildings or programs that neither allowed them to interact with non-disabled students nor provided them with even basic academic skills. In 1997, federal law strengthened requirements for properly integrating students with disabilities. So what are the disabilities we are talking about? There are 14 conditions that qualify a student for free appropriate public education. Autism, deafness, blindness, developmental delay, emotional disturbance, intellectual disability, formerly called mental retardation, orthopedic impairment, attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder, chronic health disorders, learning disabilities, speech or language impairment, traumatic brain injury, and visual impairment. To qualify for special services, the condition must adversely affect educational performance. What will we discuss is how we see students with disabilities move through our schools. A topic was suggested by the Round Valley High School students, who pointed out that their disabled peers are often in the same classes as the regular students, and that all the students take care of each other regardless of impairments. We will talk about what we have learned about a few specific disabilities and why it is important to include everyone in our diverse culture. Raising our awareness of people with disabilities in schools and in society should be a goal for everyone. No one should be defined just by their impairments. Everyone has a unique personality, goals, tastes, and interests. We will also talk about increasing our skills and interacting with others who have physical or mental disabilities. And we especially will want to hear from you in the listening community about how to reduce the separation between the various members of diverse culture. We will open the phone lines in about 25 minutes to discuss with and learn from you. We are in the Willett studio, and our phone number will be 707-456-9991. Michael, how are students with disabilities treated at Round Valley High School?
Students with disabilities are treated at Round Valley High School with somewhat different respects. The students overall respect the students in a way that we do not name call them that much, but we do interact with them, such as with our breakfast. They walk over to the elementary school, pick up our breakfast, and prepare it for us, and then we go over there and we thank them for all the work they did. They even run our student store, which they have to deal with the counting of the money and the budgets and stocking up and everything. I would like to hand it over to Princess Abate and see if she wants to say anything.
The students that have disabilities at our school, they actually have their own fundraiser where they do monthly dinners, and what they do is they sell tickets and to the whole school. It's not just students, and they sell it to the community and whoever wants like a dinner at the end of the month. And what they do is they go to the store and they prepare the whole dinner, which is really amazing. And for kids that are supposed to have disabilities and aren't supposed to be in regular classes, they do pretty amazing things like cooking a dinner and going to the store and buying stuff, the meal that they're going to prepare. So it's really cool how they have that little system and how they have the student store that they run, and they collect the money and they do everything and they account for all the money and they stock the whole thing. So it's really amazing.
Oh, yes. The kids at Round Valley with disabilities, they're really smart. I don't know why kids will make fun of them. They're students and they should be treated right. Even though they have disabilities, they should be treated equally just like everyone else at our high school. And I really think that our school should be put in sports and stuff for the kids with disabilities, because they're regular students too. They deserve every single equally opportunity that regular students have. They should have them too.
I know that in Laytonville High School there is like special education classes for kids who are having trouble catching up in their regular classes. Hanani, how do you feel that these, disabled kids are treated in Laytonville High?
I think they're treated just like normal students, because if you're not told that they're disabled, you wouldn't really know. Like, everybody treats them normally, they have friends, and it's just okay.
We talked about some different kinds of disabilities earlier in the intro. What about in Covelo? Are there kids who have severe cases of these disabilities?
Well, we have there's three kids in the special ed class, and they have helpers and stuff, but yeah, you can tell that they have a disability, not in a negative way, but they are like kids that you would point out as having someone with a disability, and
They are very independent as well. They don't need the teachers at all times. They even walk across the street to go eat lunch in the middle of the day when all the traffic is going, so I don't really think they need the whole special ed. I think they just need advisement.
Do people call them names?
Not really as much as the elementary would. The high school is pretty much open, so I think our school is really unique in that way.
Nice. The maturity level, I guess, went up, of course, from elementary school to high school, but
Michael. Okay, would you like to tell us about... there was a story you were telling us about yourself and how you you did independent study and then came back.
I was born with cerebral palsy, but it's not as severe. It's actually a mild version. When I was in kindergarten through fourth grade, I was constantly teased and called names ever since up until fifth grade, which is when I went to independent study. Cerebral palsy causes me to do these shaking and twitching things, which kind of can scare people because they think that I might go off or something. But it's really not that bad. But how I... when I went to the high school, I was told that I shouldn't be playing sports and doing academic higher achievements. And my cerebral palsy messes with my handwriting. And so when I first went to the high school, I immediately told all my teachers that I am not going to be in an independent a special ed classroom because I did not want to be treated differently. And I explained to them about my handwriting, and they said okay. And so they only had one request, was that I take my time on my work, and so far it's worked out really good. I'm even class president, FFA vice president, and ASB secretary, and I'm basketball player and baseball player, so I think I really benefited from my high school.
Nice. So why did you decide to go back to high school?
It was mostly because of the socialism. Being on independent study did not really help me with social things. So I went back to high school mainly for the socializing with other kids and to get more educational help, because being an independent study, you only have one teacher and that's your parent. And so I needed more advisement.
So you felt that it really helped to not be put on these special ed programs? You benefited from choosing to attend regular classes?
Yes, because my brother was in a special ed classroom, and he grew up to be somewhat not social. He did have friends, but they were the wrong kind of friends, if you will. So he had to basically change his whole life and not accept who he really was just so he could have friends, and I didn't want to do that, so I went and just did the normal classes. And my freshman year, I ended up with a 4.0, and so yeah.
What do you guys think about inclusion, and what that means?
I think that students with disabilities should be included in every activity, even though it might take like more help for them or take a little time for them to like get with it. I think that they should definitely have the same opportunities as anyone else, regardless of how much help they need. I mean, they're still people and they're still students, and I don't think they should be not included because they're going to the same school. They should be able to have the same opportunities as anyone else would have.
Somebody was saying, like, 30 years or 40 years ago, there wasn't, like, people who had children with disabilities were just kept at home, you know, locked up. They did not have any contact with the community. They were just, like, you know, just locked up at home. I'm sure there wasn't even TV or, you know, books to read. They would just be in a dark room, or, you know, I don't know. So how do you think that must have affected them?
It must affect them, like, really badly, because students with disabilities, even back then, they should have had friends, because everyone deserves a friend no matter what they are or anything. So they probably didn't have no friends, and they couldn't, like, talk to anyone when they got older in society. So it, like, treated them really poorly.
Yeah, I think kids with disabilities really need to be around people who don't have disabilities, because it shows them how to, they can set goals for themselves and, like, work harder to reach those goals, like just like Michael did. He made himself work harder and not join those special ed classes, and he really benefited from it. So I think we really made a big step from about 30 years ago when kids weren't included.
Yeah, I think in those times, I think parents and adults just in society as a whole just kind of saw kids and people with disabilities as an inconvenience, and I don't think they should be treated as an inconvenience, because they're not inconvenient at all. I mean, these people have potential, like, major amount of it. And so back in those days, they just kind of kept them hidden away and, like, pushed aside. But I think our society has really pushed forward in that and trying to include people with disabilities into society and making it, letting everyone know that it's okay to have that and there's help and they're not alone. It's not bad to have a disability.
I also think that most people hit their children, like people they knew with disabilities, because it was going to be bad for their name, you know, like if they had friends or people in the community calling them names because of the kind of children they had with disabilities, it would have been bad for them. So to escape, they just hid them so that nobody knew about them and everything just gone fine.
Yeah, it was like embarrassment that, because they don't, I mean, there's no really reason for a kid who is born with disabilities, so parents were probably embarrassed that they put that on their child. So, do you guys, are there certain types of disabilities that you guys see? I mean, not maybe in your town, but around, like, autism or mental retardation? Do you guys, like, see this around, and what do you guys think when you see that?
My aunt has epilepsy, and she has seizures, and she forgets a lot of things sometimes. Like, sometimes she'll forget, like, who her kids are that she's driving, but when I'm, like, encountered with someone that has a disability, I'm more curious than anything of how they got it, if they were born with it, or if they got into an accident, or if something happened to them and they developed it. But I'm more curious of as to how and how they cope with it and deal with it is how I come across it.
I don't think I've ever actually carried a conversation with a disabled kid, but have any of you ever?
I have. I have really friends that have mental disabilities in our school, and I'm friends with all of them, and they're very smart kids, and they're really sweet. They all need friends. Doesn't matter, because they're sweet, they're nice, they know how to talk, and they're just fun to be around.
As I said earlier, I'm disabled, and my parents are also foster parents, and I have a deaf sister and a brother with scoliosis. And scoliosis is kind of it's not really severe with him, but he has troubles walking and running, and being deaf, we have to, like, try to work with her, and so.
And I took training for my mom, because she has seizures, so I took training for her in Ukiah. And it's really helped because there's a girl that's one of my close friends at our school that also has seizures, but I haven't, like, witnessed one of hers yet, but when she does have one, I want to be there to help her.
Michael, how do you guys deal with your, is it hard to deal with your sister's deafness? Is it, have you guys learned how to communicate with her better?
We are learning, but there's sometimes when she just goes into full yelling mode and we don't understand a word she's saying, so it's kind of hard to understand her, especially when she's only 2 or 3.
Oh. Is it sometimes frustrating?
It can get frustrating a lot when she's just screaming in your face and you don't know what she's trying to tell you, and then the baby, her little brother, starts screaming at us too because she's yelling at us, and then we got a full-blown yell out in the faces, and we don't know how to deal with them.
What do you guys do to cope with it?
we usually just try to calm him down and just say, we try to blame it on my dad and tell him, Daddy's not here, he'll be back later.
So your brother's younger than your sister?
Yeah, they're both full-blooded siblings, and we took them because their mother was a drug-addicted woman, and she couldn't have them, and so we took them, and they're also my cousins, so it makes it a lot easier. We have their oldest sister, too, but she's 7, and she's not disabled.
I want to go back to the name calling. Why do you think people call people who are disabled? Why do they call them different names?
I think it's because they don't know how to deal with it or cope with them. And also because people in general are just scared of what they don't know. And, I mean, everyone's scared of the unknown. So if someone comes across another person that's disabled, they're going to either be curious or be scared of it. And I think people that do name calling are just calling them names out of their own insecurities and being scared of someone different.
Like, to add to what you're saying, some people might name call others just to make them know that they're above them, or, you know, have power over them so that they can make them do whatever they want them to do, or, you know, make them feel
better about themselves.
Yeah.
Do you guys witness any name calling now? I mean, maybe not in your school, but in society?
I haven't witnessed them.
We do live in a small town. It's pretty much just open. We all know each other. We try not to put anybody down because we're all family, coming from a small town.
In Laytonville, there's not much. There's no name calling for, well, we don't really have disabled students in our school, but do you guys know what, I mean, did you guys have any, things to add on how to improve our systems in the school? In Laytonville or Kobolu?
I think the students just need to be educated in what's going on with the students that are disabled and learn how to cope with it.
Yeah, I was saying earlier, people who see others with disabilities don't really know anything about it. And so they just, you know, run away from it. They don't know if they can get it by being with people. Like when HIV and AIDS first came out, you know, awareness. Before the awareness and everything, people thought it was contagious, so when they see people with it, they just, you know, stay away from them, and I don't want to have anything to do with you, can't eat with you, can't talk to you and everything. So, you know, they were afraid of what they did not know, and it's affected those people because they said it also shortened their lifespan, you know, having no hope, and everybody's just against them, nobody wants to talk to them. Nobody to take care of them, so it was really bad for them, and it's made them hopeless. Some of them wanted to die earlier, and they actually died earlier because there was no help for them. But having an awareness for people to know about these disabilities can help them to take care of people with it and treat them better.
I think it would help a lot with kids in schools that had disabilities to be able to interact with kids without disabilities. And I think even learning, like instead of learning from a teacher all the time, to have maybe another student be their tutor. And just because I know I learn a lot more from my peers than if, or not all the time, but a lot of the time, if I'm just studying with a one of my friends, I learn a lot more than sitting down with a teacher and actually, because you learn how your friends remember things and how they learn things. And I think it would help a lot if disabled kids were able to be around non-disabled kids more.
And I also know, like, in some other countries, like in Nigeria, there are schools for disabled people, so many of them are taught how to do things normal people can do. Like, I was telling you, people who do not have the use of their hands again are trained to paint with their feet or play the piano or do things people cannot do things people can do with their hands. They do it with their feet or with their mouth, you know. So there's actually hope for them.
We're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call. Please call if you have ideas about disabilities and our society. If you are in school as a teacher or a student, how are students with disabilities included in the regular activities? Is there an advantage for the mainstream students to learn side by side with students who are in an inclusion program? Were you ever placed in a special education program? What was it like? Is there a program to encourage interaction between mainstream students and those with special needs? How have you learned to comfortably have a conversation with a wheelchair user? How about the hearing impaired? If you have special needs, what advice would you give to people who seem awkward because of their situation? Are there changes to public infrastructure like wheelchair ramps that society needs to improve? If you are over 40, how were the disabled treated as youth? Were they included in your school? Were they kept at home? Are you proud that our society has made serious advances in finding ways to reduce the inclusion of wheelchair users, the blind? How can you help accommodate people with special needs? Do you ever volunteer to help people with special needs? Are these groups in our community that organize assistance for disabled? Please call in and be part of this conversation. Our goal is to involve the community in a dialogue that we can all learn from. The phone number is 707-456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you.
Calling on air.
Hello?
Hi.
My name is Shanice Rayan, and I come from Round Valley High School.
Hi, Shanice. How are you doing?
Very good. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. So, what's your question or idea that you have for us today?
My idea is, like, at our school, I believe that the people, they do participate in a lot of things, our special ed classes. But I think it'd be better if they got to come more to our classes to maybe socialize with other kids so they can get an idea of how they do things.
Wow, Shanice, that's a really good idea. And how do you think we should do that?
Maybe just, like, take time maybe when they're just not doing as much and maybe have times where kids who are ahead or maybe just, like, during PE or something, they can come and, like, play around, have fun, but at the same time, you know, like, getting to socialize without anyone being rude or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And get to know them so people aren't as curious or scared of them.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Thank you, Shanice. You're
welcome.
Yes, ma'am.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello. My name is Ahavan Case, and I'm from Round Valley High School. And I think that our special ed students are involved in a lot of activities along with the school, but there's some stuff that they should be able to be involved in, and that is the coming into the classrooms, being able to do a lot of extracurricular activities. I know I am in, and I do a lot of extracurricular activities, and I've grown up around disabled people. My grandpa is disabled, and I know how it feels because when I would walk, like, into Walmart or whatever, and I'd be with him, people would, like, stare at him and look at him. And also, I have a deaf aunt, or cousin, aunt that too, and, she would be looked at in other ways that other people wouldn't be looked at, and they'd make fun of her, too.
Is it hard to be around them when you guys go out in public and people are doing that, or have you learned how to? I mean, is it easy for you to communicate with them?
Yeah, it's easy for me to communicate with them. I've lived with them all my life. It's not really hard for me to like be away from them. I'm able to like go into public places and be around them and not be ashamed of them.
Yeah.
So having that experience with your disabled family members, how does that make you feel towards other disabled people in like your community or when you see them out in public? Like, how do you react towards them?
I'll go up and talk to them and be like a real good friend.
So you feel it's easier to communicate with them because you have that background experience?
Yes, I do.
If you didn't have that background experience, would you still communicate with the kids that have disabilities?
My personality, most likely, yeah.
That's nice to know.
So I think you have a real advantage because you're around people with disabilities. I think you have a real advantage to be able to relate to others that are related to people with disabilities or even people with disabilities, and I think that's a really good thing.
Yeah, it's a really good thing to be able to know how disabled people and people that are hearing impaired, they can't understand like other people the way they learn, and they do it a whole nother way than we are able to do it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Carl. Sorry.
I like being able to know how disabled people and hearing impaired people are able to do stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Caller, you're on air.
Hello? My name is William Ortega. There's this kid in the elementary school. I don't really know how to talk to him. Can you guys give me some tips?
Start by saying your name. Say hello, ask them their name, and tell them yours.
What kind of disability do they have?
He's special.
Like, what kind?
Is it mental, physical? Is it a mental disability, or is it a physical disability, or...
disability.
Is it speeching, or... hearing, or...
I'm not sure, that's why I'm kind of scared to talk.
What's, if you don't mind me asking, are we allowed to ask the kid's name? Because maybe, okay, never mind. Well, pretty much just try to be their friend and just be there for them.
Thank you, guys.
Just because they have a disability doesn't mean that you can't be their friend. Just think of them as a regular person, because I'm sure you have a lot of friends that are regular, and they're just regular people, too.
Cool.
Yeah, William, don't be scared to talk to them.
Try to find common grounds.
Huh?
Try to find common grounds. Like, if you play basketball, ask him, like, questions about basketball. Just try to interact.
He's really tall.
That would be something for basketball. Maybe he's a good blocker or maybe even a football player.
Yeah. Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Caller,
hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Caller, you're on the air. Caller, you're on the air.
Lucas Avaloff.
What's your question or statement?
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, I'm Krista Buckley. I'm from Round Valley.
Hey, Krista, how are you doing today?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm well. What's your question or idea you have for us today?
Well, my idea, what I have to say is, we had students in our music class and our arts class that had disabilities, and I'd actually think we should have it so more of the disabled kids could come into more of our classes, like have them in our art classes and our music classes because they're not in those classes anymore, or just have them more involved with the school. Like, they do work in the class store and all that, but, like, maybe we should see if we can get them to maybe, like, do PE or just do more of our classes so maybe more people will be okay to talk to them or be around them.
So you feel there should be more of an inclusion in classes with children with disabilities?
Yes.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
What do you think would have to be done to get them into those classes?
I really don't know. Like, probably, like, asking all the teachers if it'd be okay to have them in the class, and if the teacher says okay, put them in the class.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a really great idea, buddy.
So, so do you think there'd be, we'd need to hire special helpers for the students with disabilities so they can participate in other classes that regular students have?
Well, when they were in our music class and our art classes, they didn't have, like a special ed tutor or helper in there. They was just the regular teachers, and I think the regular teachers did okay. So maybe, like, we wouldn't have to hire somebody else, and we have, like, two teachers for those classes. Maybe they can go in there and watch and help the other teacher if they need anything.
So basically have them be independent students?
Yeah, almost. But, like, the teacher can help them more if they need it.
That's a good idea.
Do you think if we, if you trained other students to be, like, their buddy and help them around the classroom, do you think that would be sufficient enough so they can be in regular classes? So if they had a person of their peers just helping them out around the class, do you think that would suffice?
Like a mentor?
I think that'd be a good idea. Like, it show other students that it's not a bad thing to be friends with somebody with disabilities. And it also helped the student with disabilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Okay, well, thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. I come from Santa Rosa, and I was wanting to know, do you offer, like, a website? Because I get people, you know, call me, and sometimes I don't know how to deal with it, and I just feel like I'm letting you know.
We do have a website. It is youthspeaksout.net.
Speaksout.net?
That's youthspeaksout.net.
Can you repeat that, please?
No.
Hello?
I asked you a question.
What was your question, sir?
I need help.
What do you need help with?
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. My name is Selena Britton, and I'm from Grand Valley Elementary School. And there's this dude on the school with a disability, and every day when I see him, I say hi, but then everyone else starts making fun of me. What should I do?
I think you should keep talking to him. You should, the other kids are immature if they're making fun of you for trying to be friends with someone, so.
All right.
You're doing the right thing.
You should just ignore those other students.
I think your little act of kindness by saying hi, you can be a real leader to the students around you by just saying hi. Mm-hmm. I think if you just keep doing it and be persistent at it, they're going to see that their taunting doesn't get to you, and they're going to start accepting that and saying hello to them too.
Yeah, that's a good thing, because I remember when I came here as a new student, there are some specific people that always told me hi when they saw me hi in the hallways, and it really made me happy. So you don't know if you're making the person happy by saying hi. So Just keep it up.
Okay. Well, should I keep saying hi to him, or should I tell my friends to, like, try to get them to say hi, too?
You should do both. You should say, you should keep saying hi to them, and you should also encourage your friends to do the same.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello. Hi, Angela.
Good.
Huh?
You're echoing. Is your speakerphone on?
Oh, my God. Hello. My name is Jim.
Hello?
What's your question or statement, sir?
I just want to say I love my disability friends. I want to hang out with them.
It's really kind of you to say.
Oh, okay. There's an oxycontin awareness, and it's called The Truth and Consequences of Drugs. It's taking place at Willits High School on November 9th, 2010. That's Tuesday, I think. So just, if you can be there, that'll be nice, because it's going to be talking about oxycontin and other prescription drugs. The time is 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. on November 9th at Willits High School cafeteria. And then there's going to be an oxycontin awareness night in Laytonville High School on Wednesday, November 10th at 6:30 p.m. at the high school. So if you can try to be there, that'll be very good, because there's going to be a lot of information given out to the public.
Basically, at these awareness nights, they talk about the influence OxyContin has on kids, and its addictiveness, and what it does to the community, and how you can prevent it, and what it does to you. It gives you basically all the information about it that you need. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
How have things changed? If you're in school as a student or a teacher, how are students with disabilities included in the regular activities? Is there an advantage for the mainstream students to learn side-by-side with students who are in an inclusion program? Were you ever placed in a special education program? What was it like? Is there a program to encourage interaction between mainstream students and those with special needs? The number again is 456-9991. Please call in. We'd really like to hear from you.
Hello, you're on air.
Hi. I appreciate that someone said that people are just scared of what they don't know. And I just realized my radio's on. Is that bothering your reception?
No, you're perfect.
Okay. That was great to have you pinpoint that. It's so true. And it keeps people isolated from each other, whether we're talking about the kind of disabilities you're discussing or a lot of other things, you know, race and other differences in backgrounds. So when I was growing up, we never saw kids who were developmentally disabled or disabled in any way, really. And I think that just kept us feeling pretty insulated and not having an idea about what that world was like. And so the question I would ask, really, again, and I know you've asked it, is it beneficial for every day, you know, for students who are not considered disabled to be around people who have differences? And I think that might be almost a bigger question because it's very beneficial, and I think it's going to help us with all kinds of experiences in our world, especially as we need to become a more global community and communicate better with each other and have more tolerance. So that's just a comment. I'd like to know whether you have any ideas about that, and I'll hang up for it. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Caller, you're up. I really agree with what she was saying, how we, educational kids need to be around normal kids, and how that really helps. What do you guys think?
I think if, even having regular students, interact with students that have mental disabilities, I think, by doing that, I think it'll just build each other up more, and as a whole community, it'll just make us all grow stronger together, learning about each other more, not only disabled students learning about the students that don't have disabilities, but also the regular non-disabled students learning about the disabled students. I think both can benefit a lot by learning about each other.
Mm-hmm.
They'll also learn something new about hanging out with kids with disabilities, like how they get treated every day. And then the disability kids will learn how the regular kids get treated, and maybe one day that everyone will be treated equally, no matter if they're disability or if they're not.
Mm-hmm. Do you learn about yourself by communicating with disabled people? Like, do you guys learn more about yourself?
Yeah, I think you do, because you don't know what you can do until you try. If I never knew I could talk to somebody that has a certain disability, if I don't do it, so I can. If I talk to somebody that has a disability, then I know I can be able to do it. So next time I see somebody, I'm not going to be afraid of doing it, because I know I've done it before and I can do it again. Caller, you're on air.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for your show. I'm in my 50s, and when I was growing up, I didn't know anybody in my school that was disabled. I didn't ever know a deaf person or a person in a wheelchair or with any kind of palsy or anything like that. So I did hear that some people had family members, and I knew a family that had a brother. One of the brothers was in a home, so they didn't even get to be with the family all the time. So, no, I don't know how disabled he was, but it makes me kind of sad now that I'm grown up and I am around disabled people, and I realize, you know, that they were kept from us, and that makes me really sad now. So then, after I was grown up and I met people who were in wheelchairs and became friends, I remember the first friend I had who was in a wheelchair, and it took me a while to know how she wanted to be treated, and at first I would, like, push her wheelchair. And then I found out she didn't like that, because she didn't want help. She wanted to do things herself. It was important to her. And it took me a while to understand that. And I was wondering if any of you had ideas on that, as far as helping people, if it's ever, when it's appropriate and when it's not, or you just ask. So I'll take my answers off the air.
Thank you. Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
You never really want to intrude on the disabled person's feelings, because then that'll just make things worse. I know that when people tried to help me with my handwriting, I did not like it. I said I wanted to do it myself, because it was more of a goal for me to set for myself that nobody else could take away from me. So...
Michael, do you think if kids got started at a younger age interacting with disabled students? Do you think it would benefit them more when they get older, when they have encounters with people with disabilities? Do you think it would benefit them if they had experience with someone with disabilities at a younger age?
Probably significantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Ashonda Kay. And in my high school, I think the disabled children should interact more with us, too.
Do you interact on your own with these, with the disabled kids in your school?
Yeah, I actually do, and you can have conversations with them, and they respond pretty good, too.
How do you feel that they should be integrated more with the school?
Like, they come to our pep rallies, and that's nice, but they should, like, interact in our classes somewhat.
Do you think that they should be able, do you think it would benefit them to have them sit in to your guys' regular classes, occasionally and see how, like, and just learn from a regular classroom?
Yeah, so they get the benefit of us, too. Like, they get to see what we're learning.
Mm-hmm.
So you think it'll, benefit them if they socialize with their peers in other classes?
Yeah, because they're going to have to go out in the world world someday.
That's true.
That is true. They can't have babysitters their whole life.
And if they don't communicate now, they never will.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, caller.
Uh-huh. Bye.
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 Caller.
Oh, great. The reason why I called is because my daughter's developmentally disabled, and the school that she attends, we're a real small community, but they, from day one, have always been really accepting of my daughter. She has physical disabilities and also intellectual disabilities, and, I mean, from the most popular girl and guy to the most unpopular kid at that school, the whole spectrum of the school has always been very accepting to her. She's in like adaptive PE only because the regular PE it affects her seizure disorder. She gets short-winded, but they've made adaptations for her as far as she is mainstreamed in a lot of her classes. And the majority, I would actually say that kids nowadays are more accepting than when I was a student many years ago. my daughter had brain surgery in 2007 and was out of school for almost a month, and then started coming back, you know, only for a couple of hours a day. But even the biggest bully at that school, his name was Marshall, would really defend her, stick up for her, make sure that nobody was bothering her, and kind of just actually pulled her into the social circle at, you know, during break and at lunch. And to this day, my daughter does not feel like she's different in her capabilities to socialize. She went to senior prom and had I would say, if not as good a time, better time than a lot of the students who would normally not appreciate the little things in life. But her school has been very accepting. Her teachers have made a lot of accommodations. Unfortunately, I think the school district's administration, sometimes they don't have, not all, but sometimes they don't have a clue of what it is that, or how to make students who have special needs feel more accepted and socially, and to just to really help their self-esteem, rather than ignoring them and kind of not pretending that they're not there or part of the student body. I think that, and like I said, not all, but some administrators, school administrators, really need to take the time to to acknowledge those students and make sure that their day is just as special as every other student at that school.
You felt that having your daughter interact with other students really helped her grow?
Oh, definitely. As I said, to this day, she knows she has a disability, but she doesn't feel ostracized in our community or at her school. She still takes life skills classes, even though she did graduate last year. And she attends, the same high school during her life skills classes. But she's never, ever felt ostracized by the students at that school. She's felt very welcomed. And those students have encouraged her to participate in everything that they participate in, including last year they didn't have cheerleading, but they were talking about getting an adult who would oversee that, and they were encouraging her to try out. And I thought, that's not every day you get that at any other high school. And I'm kind of proud of the way kids are nowadays. They see the whole picture, and I think they're more accepting than a lot of the students were years ago.
Well, thank you, caller.
All righty, you guys have a good afternoon.
You too.
Well, that's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Hanani Ike,
Mitzi Pearson,
Princess Bate,
Colette Anderson,
Michael Hanover.
Thanks to all our callers. One of the purposes of this show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are important to us. We are happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willits studio. Youth Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with the Safe Schools Healthy Students Bronco Project, building resiliency opportunities for the North County. For more information about the Bronco program, please call Pat Sanborn at 459-5314, 459-5314, or email at psanborn@mco.us, psanborn@mcoe.us. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs in streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Our next show will be on the first Sunday of December, the 5th, at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in November.